You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
Words changing in meaning and use is a constant, from the meaning of insipid to cutting someone a check to the past participle of the verb chide.
That's what they say. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth. Joining us now is University of Michigan English professor Ann Curzan. Hi there, Ann.
Hello, Rebecca.
And I've got to say, I love it when we hit a bunch of questions all at once.
And we're going to do three today. Let's start with insipid. Rebecca, what does insipid mean to you?
It's not a word I use often, and I admit oftentimes I have to depend on context clues, but I have a feeling it's boring, bland.
I love that definition because it also captures where this word comes from. Insipid was borrowed into English from Latin, from a word meaning tasteless. And of course, that meaning that something has no taste or zing, it comes to pick up figurative meanings such as dull or boring or uninteresting. That is the definition you'll find in most standard dictionaries, but it looks like insipid for some speakers and writers is coming to just mean bad more generally. So this one's on the move. Often when a word has some negative meanings, it will pick up others. And this word insipid may be generalizing to mean bad in general, at least for some speakers and writers. The second question comes from Kaylin, who wrote to us and said, I understand the phrase to write a check, but how does the phrase to cut a check make sense? Any guesses, Rebecca?
I always thought that it had something to do with the way that the checks were printed, like in big sheets, and then they had to be cut up and distributed.
You're right that it is from a literal meaning of cutting. The Oxford English Dictionary editor suggests that the meaning probably came from the practice of cutting or tearing individual checks from a checkbook. So you were cutting a check, literally. And from there, it takes on this meaning of writing a check. One can imagine situations, for example, you're describing someone who works in payroll and you say that part of her job is to cut checks. Does that mean she writes checks or just literally cuts them and distributes them? We do know that by the 1980s, to cut a check has come to mean to write a check. And this is because we see the expression to cut someone a check. And if you can cut someone a check, that means that you're clearly writing them a check.
Okay, next up, number three.
The past participle of chide. This question came to me at a party because this is what happens to me at parties. And someone found out what I did and that I study the history of English. And he told me this wonderful story of a time early in his life when he was corrected. He was abroad and someone corrected his past participle of chide. Rebecca, let's see what yours is. So today I chide and I have...
Careful here. Chided.
Sure, that would be an absolutely regular way to make the past participle there. This person who was telling the story was corrected and told that the past participle was chidden.
No way. That sounds terrible.
Well, it may sound terrible, but if you go to most standard dictionaries, you will actually find three possible past participles: chided, chid, and chidden. And there's a story here. The verb chide goes back to Old English, and it was a weak verb in Old English, what we would think of as a regular verb now. The past tense of chide was chid, and the past participle was either chided or chid. And then in the Renaissance, this verb developed irregular forms alongside the regular ones, probably through analogy with ride. So you have ride, rode, ridden, and you get chide. I'm going to let everyone come up with the past tense because that is also a vulgar word in current English. And then the past participle, chidden. And as I said, if you look in standard dictionaries now, you will still find chidden.
I think I'm going to stick with chided. And I would never chide someone for their past tense of chide. Thanks so much, Anne.
Have a great rest of the day.
Ann Curzan is a professor of English at the University of Michigan. We look at the evolution of language every Sunday here on Weekend Edition. If you can't always catch us on Sunday, you can subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you have a question about our ever-changing language, email us at language@michiganradio.org.